Good morning. So nice to see all of you on this dreary, rainy, cold Jerusalem morning. But we'll warm ourselves by the fire and warmth of the Torah. I trust that you're all warm and comfortable and safe in your homes. I'd like to explore together with you this morning Purim Mishulash, this 3-day Purim, which happens from time to time. It's somewhat of a rare occurrence. It's when the 15th of Adar falls out on Shabbat, and so Yerushalayim and walled cities observe the holiday of Purim over the course of 3 days. The mitzvot of Purim are spread out over Friday, Shabbat, and Sunday. And as I said, it's somewhat of a rare occurrence, and it can be confusing. So, Birshutchem, with your permission, I'd like to explore together with you this unique Purim as it is this year, and review together with you these unique halachot and the reasons behind why we do what we do. And Be'ezrat Hashem, for those of us from Yerushalayim or those of us in walled cities that observe Purim on Tetvav, hopefully will bring some clarity. A lot of people aren't sure exactly what to do. As I said, this is something that happens from time to time. It's not every year, so it can be a little confusing. So here I'll put some sources up here on the screen that we'll explore together. Okay. Okay, I trust everyone can see the source sheets. Yes? Okay, good. See if we can zoom in a little bit more. Okay. So the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechet Megillah instructs when we are to read the Megillah. Unwalled cities read, of course, on the 14th of Adar. Walled cities from the time of Yehoshua bin Nun read on the 15th of Adar. Okay, why that is, it's a lengthy discussion, but it's really not based on Shushan. In fact, the Talmud Bavli says Shushan Shani. Shushan would be the exception to the rule. You see, in Megillah, they defeated their enemies on the 14th, so they rested and celebrated on the 15th. But Shushan was not walled from the time of Yehoshua bin Nun, and there's a whole rich discussion. But based on the Yerushalmi, the Chachamim wanted to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael, which was in a state of Churban at the time. They wanted to give kavod to Yerushalayim, which was in a state of Churban at the time. And as we know, King Koresh, King Cyrus, had already given permission to the Jewish people to return to their land and build their holy temple, but the overwhelming majority of Jews chose to stay in the Galut, and so the Chachamim were reminding them to go back to Eretz Yisrael and to place Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim in the center of their focus. And so they wanted to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael. So they made this special takana that walled cities read on the 15th. And the paradigm of the walled city is Yerushalayim, even though you could ask Maha Kesher, what's the connection between Yerushalayim and what happens in the Persian Median Empire? But it was to give kavod and, again, to reconnect, perhaps, the Jewish people with Eretz Yisrael and with Yerushalayim. You know, the prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, are telling the people to come and return and rebuild and build their holy temples. And it's the very Achashverosh, as the Tanakh tells us, who put a stoppage on the work, on the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. So that's why we read in Yerushalayim on the 15th. Okay, so in Yerushalayim and in walled cities from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, we read on the 15th, the Mishnah tells us. Large cities read on the 14th, the Mishnah tells us. And Kfarim, villages, the first Mishnah ends, Magdimin liyom haknisa. They advance and read on the day of gathering, which is Monday and Thursday. That's the day of gathering. Historically, those were the market days. Those were the days when the markets were open. That's why the Chachamim instituted the reading of the Torah publicly on Mondays and Thursdays. That's when the Batei Din, the courts, were in session. And that's when these villagers would come into the city to sell their wares. Now, these villagers, the Gemara explains, were uneducated. They couldn't read the Megillah for themselves. And so they needed an expert, the Baki, to read the Megillah for them. And in order to make their lives easier, so to speak, since they were coming in on one of these market days anyway. And since on the day of Purim, the Gemara says they're going to be involved with feeding the locals. They're going to be selling food and drink to the Jews, celebrating on the 14th, maybe on the 15th too, depending on where these villagers found themselves. So the Chachamim wanted to make their lives easier. So there was a special dispensation that they were Magdimin Liyom HaKnisa, that they could advance the reading of the Megillah to the upcoming, or the previous round, the previous day of gathering, which would be the 11th, the 12th, or the 13th. Okay, hold that for a moment. We're going to come back to that. And then the next Mishnah continues and asks Ketzad, how does this work out? Right? If Purim, or if the 14th falls out on this day, let's say it falls out on Yom Sheni, it falls out on Monday. So when would these people read? When would those people read? Okay. And take a look where I've underlined. This is important for our discussion this morning. Chaliot Erev Shabbat. When the 14th of Adar falls out on Friday, as it does this year, okay, 14th falls out on Friday, the 15th falls out on Shabbat. Kfarim Magdimim Liyom HaKnisa. So as we said, the villagers, they advance the reading of the Megillah to the previous Yom HaKnisa, the previous day of gathering. That day of gathering would be the previous Thursday. So that would be what? That would be the 13th of Adar. So it would fall out that they would read on the 13th of Adar. They would dispense of their obligation on the 13th of Adar. Va'arot gdolot, and large cities, meaning large cities that don't need this dispensation. Umukafot choma, and walled cities like Yerushalayim, Korin bo bayom. They read the Megillah on that day, meaning on the 14th. So here we see that when the 15th of Adar, which is when we normally read the Megillah here in Yerushalayim and in walled cities, when the 15th of Adar falls out on Shabbat, we advance the reading to the 14th of Adar. We read the Megillah, the 14th of Adar, together with everyone else, together with the other cities. Okay, so together with, Beit Shemesh and Efrat, we'll be reading, Bezrat Hashem, this year, the Megillah, on Erev Shabbat. We'll be reading the Megillah on Thursday night and on Friday morning. But the Mishnah doesn't explain why. In other words, why do we advance the reading to Friday? Now, by the way, the Mishnah says that if the 14th falls out on Shabbat, they also advance the reading. Okay, but with our current established calendar, that cannot happen. The 14th cannot fall out on Shabbat with the current calendar we have, with our fixed calendar. Okay, so it's not so relevant. That would be the next statement in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah says you don't read the Megillah on Shabbat. When the 15th falls out on Shabbat, you advance and we'll read Megillah Bezrat Hashem on Erev Shabbat. So the question is why? And the Gemara here in source number 2 explains why. Okay, it's a famous reason. Gzeira de Rabba, the decree that's associated with Rabbah. The Gemara says, "Dechule alma mia Megillah b'Shabbat lo karina." Everyone agrees. The Gemara is discussing what happens when Purim falls out on Shabbat. Again, whether it's Tetvav as it does this year, or I said it can't happen, but lichora, if the 14th would fall out on Shabbat, we would not read the Megillah on Shabbat. So the Gemara wants to know why. My tama, what is the reason? What is the reason why we do not read the Megillah on Shabbat? And it's the famous answer, Amar Rabbah, the famous Gezeira decree of Rabbah, HaKol Chayvin B'Kriyat Megillah, Ve'en HaKol B'Kiyin B'Kri Megillah. Everyone is obligated in the reading of the Megillah, but not everyone is an expert. And we're concerned that someone who doesn't know how to read might bring his Megillah to someone who can read for him. Or maybe he has a question, he doesn't know, Ilkashi, whatever, he's not such a bucky, he wants to get some expert advice. And he's going to be over on the Isur of Hotza'ah, of carrying on Shabbat. Gzeira shema yitlana biyado ve'elech etzel baki lemod. Oh, so the Chachamim, Rabbah says, made a gzeira. They made a decree, lest the person come and take the Megillah in his hand to a baki, to an expert, in order to learn. V'avirenu arba amot birushut harabim. And it will happen that he will come and carry the Megillah 4 cubits in a public domain. Okay, so this is the famous Gzeira de Rabba Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amot Birushut Rabbi. And the Gemara continues and says, "V'hainu Tama de Shofar." V'hainu tamad dilulav. And that's the same reason why the Chachamim said not to blow the shofar when Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbat. And the same reason why we don't take the lulav when Sukkot coincides with Shabbat. We have the Mishnah and Masechet Rosh Hashanah, and the Mishnah and Masechet Lulav, and the Sugyot and the Gemara there. But it's the same reason. Gzeira de Rabba. Shema Yavirenu Arba Amot Brishut Rabbim. We're concerned that someone might carry their shofar for Amot in a public thoroughfare, or carry his lulav in a public thoroughfare. And so the Chachamim, they said, Sheva al ta'aseh, right? Better not to do, better to forego this mitzvah. Now the Gemara continues and adds another reason. And this is very important for our discussion this morning in terms of understanding when to observe the mitzvah of Matanot Levyonim, as we'll see in a moment. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef said, Mipnei she'einehen shel aniyim nisuot b'mikra migila. Rav Yosef, according to many, he's not arguing with Rabbah. He's not disagreeing with Rabbah, but he's adding another nekuda, another point, another reason why we don't read the Megillah on Shabbat, and it's because the eyes of the poor are lifted at the time of the reading of the Megillah. What does that mean? So what it means is the poor come to the shul during the reading of the Megillah and expect to receive matanot levyonim, expect to receive handouts. Their eyes are raised, is the language of the Gemara here. They're looking towards the people to give them handouts. Here, Rashi says the following. I didn't put it on the source sheets, but Rashi says, "Lekabel matanot levyonim v'yeshar b'shabbat." Their eyes are raised because they're expecting to receive matanot levyonim, and it's not possible to dispense or to distribute matanot levyonim on Shabbat. So that's another reason why we do not read the Megillah on Shabbat, because at the time of the Megillah, that's the time to distribute matanot levyonim. Okay, so the Braita, the Gemara rather continues with a Braita and says, "Tanya nami hachi." We have a Braita that is consistent with this, that says the same thing, right? It's also same idea is also expressed in a Braita. Even though we said that these villagers can advance the reading of the Megillah to the 11th, 12th, and 13th, as I mentioned, nevertheless, they collect and distribute matanot levyonim bo bayom on that day, meaning on the day that they read. Okay? So you see that matanot levyonim is intimately connected with what? With Mikra Megillah. And that's going to be important because we're going to ask, well, okay, we can't read the Megillah on Shabbat. When do we give Matanah Levyonim, right? Do we give Matanah Levyonim on Friday? Do we give Matanah Levyonim on Sunday? Okay. So we see that Matanah Levyonim is intimately tied with the Mikra Megillah. And when the time of Mikra Megillah is advanced, that's when they give the matanot levyonim. That's what the Braita is saying. That when the villagers advance their reading to the 11th, 12th, and the 13th, on those days, that's when they give the Megillah. And the Gemara asks now on the language of the Braita, but that's not so important for our purposes this morning, and then adds and clarifies why do the villagers give out or distribute the matanot levyonim on the 11th or 12th, 13th, when they are reading their Megillah early. Mipnei she'einehem shel aniyim nisuot b'mikra Megillah. Again, the same reason, because the eyes of the poor are looking during the reading of the Megillah for tzedakah, for the matanot levyonim. Okay, so that's important, because you see, when we advance the reading of Megillah, oh, matanot levyonim are given out on that same day because they're intimately connected. And that's the reason why, according to Rav Yosef, or another reason, according to Rav Yosef, the Chachamim decided that when that we can't read the Megillah on Shabbat, because it's not fair to the Anim. That's when they're looking for handouts. So the Matanah Levyonim is intimately connected with Mikra Megillah. Okay, and that's what we do. Halacha Lemaaseh, we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch. We read the Megillah on Thursday night and Friday morning, when Purim falls out on Shabbat, or when Tetvav falls out on Shabbat, as it does this year. and we'll read the Megillah. And on the same day, Friday morning, we'll also give out the Matanot Lev Yomi. Okay. But what about Seuda? Okay. So we'll see in a moment a Yerushalmi that will deal with Seuda explicitly. But the Bavli continues here and says, "Aval Simcha eina noheget ela bizmana." But Simcha, the mitzvah of Mishte v'Simcha, as it is formulated in the Megillah, the mitzvah to rejoice and to feast and to celebrate, the mitzvah of feasting, Mishte v'Simcha eina noheget ela bizmana, is only observed in its time. You know, what does that mean? Does that mean? Does that mean that for us, when Tetvav falls on Shabbat here in Yerushalayim, and so we'll advance the Megillah reading to Friday, and we'll also give out Matanot Lev Yonim on Friday, right? Does that mean that we should have the Purim feast on Shabbat because the mitzvah of Simcha is only observed in its proper time, meaning on Shabbat, on the 15th for us? Is that what the Gemara is referring to? Or perhaps the intent of the Gemara here is that for those villagers who advance and read on the 11th, 12th, or the 13th, they advance to the Yom HaKnisa, the day of gathering, the previous Monday or Thursday, maybe for them they read the Megillah and they give out their Matanot Lev Yonim on the 11th, 12th, or the 13th, right, on that Yom HaKnisa. But when do they observe the Seuda? On the 14th, on the proper Zman. How do we define Zman here? Is it a reference to those villagers who are advancing to the 11th, 12th, 13th, and they give out their Matanot Lev Yonim on that day, and therefore they dispense of the obligation of Megillah and Matanot Lev Yonim, but the Seuda, they have to wait till when it's really Purim, right? When it's really Purim, the 14th. Or is that even for us, that in Yerushalayim, when we advance and read on Friday this year, that no, we have the Seuda on Shabbat? So that's a question. Okay, that's a question. Not so clear what the intent of the Gemara here is. And can you have a Seuda on Shabbat? We'll see what the Yerushalmi has to say in a moment. But before that, there's the next statement of the Gemara, a statement of Rav, which possibly is very relevant this year when many people will be reading by themselves or for their spouse or for their nuclear family. They're not going to participate in public readings with a minion in the shul because of Corona, because maybe the doctor advised them against going out. Maybe they're in bidud, in quarantine, lockdown, wherever they might find themselves. This next line is really very relevant this year. Amar Rav. Rav said, Megillah bizmana, korin ota afilu biyachid, shelo bizmana ba'asara. Rav said that when Megillah is read in its time, on its proper day, right, either the 14th, if you're outside of Yerushalayim, or the 15th in Yerushalayim, maybe, right? Or maybe the 14th, as opposed to the 11th, 12th, and the 13th. Korinota afilu biyachid. So if you're reading the Megillah in its proper time, you can read it even as an individual. Shelo bizmana ba'asara. But when it's not read in its proper time, you have to read it together with 10, with a minion of asara, a minion of 10. So what does that mean, right? So the way the Rishonim understand the Gemara is because this is Rashi and others, with Asara creates, right? You're publicizing the miracle. There's Pirsumei Nisa. So when you're reading on the day itself, when everyone's reading, right? Everyone's reading. So you don't need 10 to generate the Pirsumei Nisa. You can read by yourself because I'm reading by myself. It's Purim for me and it's Purim for you, okay? And everyone's reading for themselves, and it's Pirsumei Nisa. You don't need the 10 to generate. But once you are advancing the reading and it's not in its proper day, maybe then you need 10. This is a dispensation. This is an exception to the rule. Maybe you need 10 to generate the Pirsumei Nisa. Okay. But there's a machloket Rishonim as to how to understand this Gemara. What is called Shelo Bizmana? Is Shelo Bizmana when Purim falls out like it does this year for us on Shabbat, and you advance to Friday. Is that called Shelo Bizmana? And therefore, someone reading by himself on Friday, right, wouldn't say a bracha because you need asara in order to make a bracha on the reading of the Megillah. Or no, does Lo Bizmana, does that refer to the villagers? Okay, that's how other Rishonim want to learn the Gemara. That it refers to those people in the village who are reading on the 11th and 12th and 13th. That's not Bizman. That's not the proper time. It's a special dispensation. So for them, they require Asara. And one who doesn't have a minion, he can read by himself, right? As Askara Tanais, to make mention of the miracle, but he wouldn't say a bracha. Okay, and so that's interesting. It's a big machloket, and the nafgamina would be, this year, what do you do with Purim Mishulash? How do you understand Shelo Bizmana? Shelo Bizmana, anytime you advance, even here in Yerushalayim when we advance to the 14th, or no, it's a unique halacha with regards to those who advance to the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. Interesting, the Shulchan Aruch gives the example of someone who is, he's traveling by boat, or he's going off on some caravan, and he has to read early because he won't have a Megillah with him. He won't be able to read while he's traveling. So in that case, the Shulchan Aruch rules that he reads early. He reads without a bracha. If he reads by himself, if he reads as a yachid. So that might imply that according to the Shulchan Aruch, we're understanding this Gemara to mean someone who was an exception to the rule. He's reading on the 11th or 12th or the 13th. Whereas we, when we're supposed to read on Shabbat, but we can't for technical reasons, so we advance to the 14th, that's not called Shelo Bizmana, that's called Bizmana. So it's a big machloket Rishonim as to how to understand this Gemara. It's a machloket Achronim as to what we are supposed to do, halacha lema'aseh. And interestingly, the Mishnah Brura rules that when Purim, like it does this year, falls out on Shabbat for us, and we advance to Friday, that's called Shelo Bizmana. And therefore, someone this year should make sure he hears the Megillah together with Asara if he wants to say a bracha. If he reads it by himself, according to the Mishnah Berurah, he does not say a bracha. Okay? However, many contemporary poskim, poskim Eretz Yisrael, many Chochmei Yerushalayim rule that no, that the 14th is called Bizmana. And it's possible it's machloka between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, because there's a statement in the Yerushalmi that the 14th is called a Zman for everyone. There's a statement in the Yerushalmi, and it's possible that is also the Shita of the Rambam. It would sound like from the Rambam that he understands Shelo Bizmana when you're reading before the 14th, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. But the 14th is called Bizmana. Okay, yeah, it happens to be we advance to Erev Shabbat because we can't read the Megillah on Shabbat, but it's still called Bizmana. That was the 14th and the 15th are called Zmana. It's proper time. That's what Mordechai Beit Dino instituted. But as I said, it's a machloket achronim. So the Mishnah Berurah says someone this year who reads on Friday, since we advance to Friday, according to him, that's not called Bizmana. And so someone reading by himself outside of the minyan would not make a bracha. However, the Chazon Ish, and as I said, many Chachmei Yerushalayim, like Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Rav Chil Michal Tukuchinsky, all of them ruled that no, even this year, when we advance to Friday, that is still called Zmana, and one would make a bracha. You don't need a minyan of 10. You don't need a Asara to make a bracha. Okay, in any case, it's just a side point, but it can be relevant, especially those who will not be in shul this year for one reason or another because of the pandemic. Okay, now what about again, Suda? How do you understand this statement? Just going back to the statement, Aval Simcha Einu Noheget Ela Bizmana, right? Again, how do we define Zman, right? And what is called its Zman? And is that a reference only to those advancing to the 11th, 12th, and 13th? Or is that even here in the case of Purim Mishulash where we advance to Friday? So they're different shitot. The Bavli is unclear. However, the Yerushalmi is very clear. The Yerushalmi says when Tetvav falls out on Shabbat, when Purim falls out on Shabbat, we have the Seuda on Sunday. The Yerushalmi is very clear. Take a look at source number 3. Yerushalmi says, "Be'elu amru magdimin velo ma'acharin." By these things, we say we advance and we don't push off. Kriyat Megillah, as we mentioned, Utrumat Shkalim, right? Makdimim velo ma'acharim. We advance these things and we don't push them off. We just read on Shabbat Parshat Shkalim, because the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechet Shkalim says that on Rosh Chodesh, Adar, they would announce to give the Shkalim, to give the Machatzita Shekel, to purchase the communal offerings. Already by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they had to purchase the communal offerings with the new Shkalim. Okay, so these things we advance and we don't push off. However, Sudat Rosh Chodesh, Sudat Purim, that's our discussion, Ma'acharin velo magdimin. When it comes to Sudat Rosh Chodesh, which we'll leave on hold for a moment, and Sudat Purim, that's our question, the Yerushalmi says, we push off and we don't advance. That would sound like it should be held on Sunday, right? And Rabbi Zeira asks the question explicitly. Rabbi Zeira ba kome Rabbi Abahu. He asked this question in front of Rabbi Abahu. It says, he asks, Vayasu otan Shabbat. Should we make the Suda on Shabbat, right? It would sound maybe from the Bavli. Bavli says that the Simcha ina noheget ela bizman. It has to be on its proper day. Maybe it should be on Shabbat, right? Amar Lei, Rabbi Abahu answers him. He begins with a pasuk from Esther Perek Tet. La'asot otam yimei mishte v'simcha. Okay? La'asot otam. That is, we make them. We make these days. We observe these days as days of feasting and rejoicing. So that implies that we make them. We create them. They are dirabanan. Okay? And he continues, et shesimchato tliya bebeitin, yatsa ze shesimchato tliya bidei shamayim. Okay? He says, the Purim that is dependent, it's simcha, its observance is dependent on Beitin. It was instituted by Mordechai u'Beitino. Okay? It doesn't come and override Shabbat, whose simcha is bidei shamayim. The simcha is from heaven. It's a little bit of a difficult passage in the Yerushalmi, as actually most of the Yerushalmi is. A difficult lashon here. Yatzazeh shesimchato tliya bidei shamayim, meaning that Shabbat, you know, it comes to exclude Shabbat, whose simcha is from heaven. From God. Hashem gave us the Shabbat. What does that mean? It would sound like that the Simcha of Purim doesn't override or push off the Simcha of Shabbat. And that's why the Yerushalmi says, by these things we say what? That we are ma'acharin velo makdimin. We push them off. We don't advance them. And we don't have them on Shabbat. Instead, we would push it off to Sunday. And that's, as we'll see, how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. When Tetvav falls on Shabbat, we have the Seuda on Sunday. We push it off. Almost, you know, from the Yerushalmi, it almost sounds like what we have by Yom Tov, where we don't make a wedding on Chol HaMoed. We say, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. We don't mix one Simcha with another Simcha. Right? Give Yontif its due. Observe the Simcha, the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov. And then have your wedding feast another time, another day. We don't mix simcha with simcha. It would almost sound like that's what the Yerushalmi is saying. In other words, give Shabbat its due. Shabbat, which was given to us from heaven, make sure that you honor the Shabbat, and then you have your Purim Suda on Sunday. Right? The Purim Suda, which was decreed by the Beit Din of Mordechai, that does not come to override the Simcha of Shabbat. That's what the Yerushalmi is saying. That's how we paskin. Okay? But again, you know, it's not so clear from the Bavli what the intent of the Bavli is. It would seem like the Bavli says, no, you have to make it on its day, Ela Bizmana. As I said, it's a machloket, whether that's a reference to those advancing to Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, or even those like us this year who are advancing to Yud Aleph. So, it's interesting, the Ra'ah and others, the Maharal Bach, who's cited, we'll see, by the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura, they assume that we rule like the Bavli, and that Simcha Eina Noheget Ela Bizmana. And there's a Machloket Bavli Yerushalmi, and they paskin like the Bavli, that the Simcha is supposed to be observed in its proper time, namely on Shabbat. And so there is such an opinion that you have to have a special Suda for Purim on Shabbat itself. But as I said, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Yerushalmi here. But it would be a machloket between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And the Maharal Bach, who Reb Levi ibn Chaviv, lived in the 16th century, and he was the Rav of Yerushalayim. In fact, he was very involved in the machloket of renewal of smicha. If you recall the big machloket with the Maribei Rav and the Chachmei Tzfat, who wanted to restore smicha, and they actually did give smicha. They did so, and the Maharal Bach was very upset, and he was slighted. What about the Chachmei Yerushalayim? You didn't inquire with us, the Chachmei Yerushalayim. So he lived in Yerushalayim, and he said that was the minhag in Yerushalayim in the 16th century, that they would have the Purim Suda when Purim falls out on Shabbat, like it does here in Yerushalayim, when Tetvav falls out on Shabbat. They would make a special Suda on Shabbat, because they paskin like the Bavli. It's machloket Bavli Yerushalmi. Okay, they paskin like the Bavli. That the when is the Simcha? Simcha in Noheget Ela Bizmana, in its proper time. Okay, so some in order to be machmir, even though we paskin like the Yerushalmi, that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that the Suda is observed on Sunday. So, but nevertheless, some will have a little extra something special on Shabbat. They'll make a little something as a zecher for Purim, and maybe out of deference to this opinion that is cited by the Ra'ah and the Maral Bach, and the Magen Avram and the Mishnah Berurah bring down the Maral Bach, that he was of this opinion and said that this was the minhag. He writes in the Tshuva that this was the minhag in Yerushalayim in the 16th century. There are other opinions as well. The Meiri, for example, says that once we're pushing everything up to Friday, have the Suda on Friday as well. Okay, but that's dat yachid. The Meiri is unique, as he is in many places. He has a lot of very unique opinions and approaches, but we don't follow that. We assume, like the Shulchan Aruch, that the Suda is on Sunday. As I said, some people are machmir to have a little something special on Shabbat as well. It's this 3-day festival. Okay, now it's interesting. The Yerushalmi mentions Suda explicitly, but does not mention Mishloach Manot. Right? So when is Mishloach Manot to be observed? We said that the Megillah is read Erev Shabbat, Thursday night, Friday. We'll give Matanot Lev Yonim on Friday morning, because Matanot Lev Yonim is intimately connected with Mikra Megillah. The Suda, as we said, we paskin like the Yerushalmi is Sunday, but what about Mishloach Manot? So it's interesting. The Yerushalmi does not address Mishloach Manot explicitly, and the Shulchan Aruch, we'll see, also does not address Mishloach Manot explicitly. So when should we give Mishloach Manot? That's the question. Now it's interesting, there's an interesting opinion of the Chazon Ish, also a Dat Yachid, very often having unique opinions and approaches. He says, yeah, the Yerushalmi doesn't mention Mishloach Manot, so Minastam, you should give Mishloach Manot on Friday. So according to the Chazon Ish, you read the Megillah on Friday, you give Matanot Lev Yonim on Friday, you also give Mishloach Manot on Friday, because the Yerushalmi doesn't mention it. But again, Chazon Ish is a dat yachid. Some people want to be machmir like the Chazon Ish. So, okay, they have some extra stuff anyway. They'll give a Mishloach Manot on Friday just in case. Okay. What about Mishloach Manot? When should we have it? So we'll see in a moment that we assume that Mishloach Manot is intimately connected with the Suda, just like Matanot Lev Yonim is intimately connected with Mikra Megillah for the reasons we explained. Mishloach Manot is intimately connected with the Suda. So if we have the Suda on Sunday, it would make sense that we should give out the Mishloach Manot on Sunday, and I'll explain why that is in a moment. But some say, according to the approach that the simcha has to be observed in its proper zman, which is Shabbat this year. If you're going to already have a suda on Shabbat, according to the Maral Bach, maybe also give Mishloach Manot on Shabbat. And there's a whole discussion. Can you give gifts on Shabbat? Can a person be kona? We assume you don't give gifts on Shabbat. However, if it's a mitzvah that the Chachamim instituted, so you'd be able to give Mishloach Manot on Shabbat. But again, we assume, as I'll explain in a moment, that the Mishloach Manot are given out on Sunday. Okay, so why is that? As I said, Mishloach Manot is connected with the Suda, so why is that? So there's a machloket, a fundamental machloket as to the reason behind Mishloach Manot. Okay, is it to enhance the Suda? And that is articulated by the Trumat HaDeshen in a famous tshuva of his, that the whole point of Mishloach Manot is to enhance the Suda. And therefore, you should give things that are edible and things that can be eaten with the seuda. And people give all sorts of things. You should think about what you want to give. If ultimately the purpose is to enhance the seuda, that's the shita of the Trumat HaDeshen. It would seem that's the shita of the Rambam as well, as I'll show you in a moment. But then there's another shita that says, no, maybe the whole point of Mishloach Manot is to bring about Jewish unity. And that's the shita of the Manot Halevi, or Shlomo Halevi al-Kabetz. But first, the Trumat HaDeshen, the Yisrael Israelite, important 15th century posek, major influence on Ashkenazic practice. He writes the following. He's asked Sheila. He asked the following question. Bnei Adam ha-sholchim l'chavrihem, bepurim chalukim uzdinim v'chi ha-gavna. People who give their friends on Purim as Mishloach Manos, they give them garments and materials, linens, sheets, those types of things. Nice gifts. Yotzi midei Mishloach Manot olav. Do they fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot or not? Tshuva. He writes the following. Yira'e would appear de'en yotzim behen. No, they do not fulfill the obligation of Mishloach Manot. De'nira tam de Mishloach Manot hu kidei she'yek l'kol echad dai v'sapek l'kayem. It would appear that the whole purpose of the institution, the takana of Mishloach Manot, is so that everyone has nice foods, enough foods for the Suda to observe the Purim Suda properly, according to the Din, Kidina, according to its halachot. So, according to the Trumat HaDeshen, the whole point of Mishloach Manot is to enhance the Suda. So it would make sense that if we're having the Suda on Sunday, we would give the Mishloach Manot on Sunday, if the point is to enhance the Suda, right? And in fact, as a proof, he brings the Gemara from Megillah Daf Zayin, where the Gemara describes in discussing Mishloach Manot and what's appropriate and how one can fulfill the mitzvah. In that context, the Gemara says that Abayi Bar Avin and Rav Chanina Bar Avin, they would switch sudot with one another. What does that mean? So Rashi explains they would invite one another over for the Purim Suda. They would take turns. One year, Abayi would invite Rav Chanina over, and one year, Rav Chanina would invite Abayi over. And the understanding of the Gemara there is that they were yotze both Suda and Mishloach Manot. Interesting. You invite someone to your table for the Purim Suda. Yeah, maybe you're yotze Mishloach Manot with him eating in your home. And you see from this that the whole point of Mishloach Manot, this is how the Trumat HaDeshen is explaining this Gemara, and using this Gemara, the whole purpose of the Takana of Mishloach Manot is to enhance the Suda. So the Mishloach Manot is part and parcel of Suda. So if you have the Suda on Sunday, if you push it off to Sunday, as the Yerushalmi says, oh, so that's when you would observe Mishloach Manot. Okay, and then he cites the Rambam, where it's clear from the Rambam that Mishloach Manot is really very much connected to the Suda. The Rambam asks, here in source number 5, the second parak of Hilchot Megillah and Chanukah, he asks, Ketzad chovat suda zo? How do you observe this suda? He says, you make a nice meal and you've got meat and wine, v'chule, v'chule. And he says, where I've underlined, v'chein chayav adam lishloach shtei manot shel basar, o shnei minei tavshil, o shnei minei ochlin l'chaveiro. Oh, and how do you fulfill Mishloach Manot? The Rambam says, by giving two portions of meat or two types of cooked items or two types of foods. By the way, they need not be two different types of brachot. You know, people often think I have to, you know, give something that's mizonot and something that's shako. No. Just two different portions. Two portions of meat, the Rambam says. By the way, some people are machmir like the Rambam. They actually give cooked foods. They give two portions of meat. They don't just give a bag of chips and a soda, right? You know, bag of chips and stuff, very easy. Okay, very nice. Now, I don't know, here in Har Nof, where I live, if you'd give two portions of meat, I think people would throw it right in the garbage because everyone's so frumped, they don't trust the kashrus. So I see why people give packaged items. But really, you see from the Rambam that you're supposed to give foods that are to be eaten as part of the Suda, to enhance the Suda, to ensure that everyone can have a nice Suda. That's what the Trumat HaDeshen explains, and he cites the Rambam. I think it's also significant. You look how the Rambam formulates it. The Trumat HaDeshen doesn't say this explicitly. He just says this line that, oh, the Rambam says you're bringing meats and things. Obviously, the Kavana is for the Suda, but I think you have to, whenever you study the Rambam, always have to look at the context and the way the Rambam formulates his halachot. So look at the formulation. He's describing the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot in the context of the mitzvah of Suda. This halacha is talking about Suda. And in that context, he talks about Mishloach Manot. So it's obvious that according to the Rambam, the Mishloach Manot is ultimately there to enhance the Suda. Okay, so it would make sense that, when do you give Mishloach Manot? When you have your Suda, and this year we push off Suda to Sunday, so that's when you give your Mishloach Manot. Okay, but there is another approach, as I mentioned, that's the approach of the Manot Halevi, Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz, one of the great Kabbalists of 16th century Tzfat, the author of the Lecha Dodi, which we sing every Friday night, and he understands the intent or the reason behind the institution of Mishloach Manot to create Jewish unity. He says it's Likael Kol Echad Im Chaveiro, where I've underlined here in source number 6. It's to create Jewish unity. And he writes this in his commentary to Megillat Esther, which is called Manot HaLevi. Okay? Now, it's interesting. The Megillah records how Haman HaRasha, he describes the Jewish people. This is what the Manot HaLevi means. He describes the Jewish people as an Am Echad Mefuzar Meforad Bein Ha'amim. A nation that's scattered, that's lacking unity. Okay, and so in order to combat that, right, and you see from the way Chazal understood that, it also means they were scattered. There was assimilation, and they weren't doing the will of Hashem. You see the way that Chazal darshan that verse. But in any case, what he's saying is Haman HaRasha describes the Jewish people as a scattered people, a people that lacks unity, and in order to combat that, Mordechai Ubeitino Institute Mishloach Manot, to bring people together. And this he writes, as I said, in his commentary there to Megillat Esther. And it's interesting, in his introduction, he writes to his father-in-law that, you know, he was poor, he didn't have money. And so he was giving this sefer, his perush, on Megillat Esther to his father-in-law as a gift in fulfillment, perhaps, of Mishloach Manot. That was his Mishloach Manot to his father-in-law. And in fact, he calls the work Manot HaLevi, the gift, the Mishloach Manos of the Levi, of Shlomo HaLevi Alkabetz. So there's this whole rich discussion. Can you give a sefer? Can you give Divrei Torah as Mishloach Manot? Can you fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot through a gift of Divrei Torah or something else? Right? And again, we have this machloket between the Trumat HaDeshen and the Manot HaLevi as to what the reason behind this institution is. If the whole purpose is to enhance the Suda, so Divrei Torah, as beautiful as it is, doesn't count. If the purpose is to create Jewish unity, so then yeah, maybe a gift is a kiyum of Mishloach Manot. And so, and there are a lot of nafka minot. The Achronim love this machloket between the Trumat HaDeshen and the Manot HaLevi with all sorts of rich nafka minot. What if you give Mishloach Manot through a shaliach? Is that not called unity? Maybe that increases the unity. All different types of things. What if you give someone a frozen chicken, right? Food that's not yet prepared. So it's a gift, but on the other hand, they can't eat it at the Suda. There's all sorts of different nafkaminim. In any case, we assume, like the Rambam, like the Trumat HaDeshen, that the purpose of the Mishloach Manot is to enhance the Suda. And therefore, when do we observe the Mishloach Manot? We observe the Mishloach Manot on Sunday. But as I said, there are those who are machmir and say maybe you should give it on Friday because the Yerushalmi is not clear. Maybe we should give it on Shabbat. Those who assume that the Suda, the obligation of Suda, is on Shabbat. That's called Zman, as we said before. Okay, so fine. So before we end, we'll just make some seder and we'll go over all of the relevant halachot, and I'll take any questions. But so far we've seen that the reading of the Megillah and Matanot Levyomim, we observe on the 14th. We'll read the Megillah Thursday night, Friday morning. We'll distribute Matanot Levyomim on Friday because Matanot Levyomim is connected with Mikra Megillah, as we explained. On Sunday, that's when we'll have the Suda. We rule like the Yerushalmi. And since Mishloach Manot is connected to the Suda, so that's when we'll also give Mishloach Manot. So what do you do on Shabbos, right? You've got mitzvot of Purim on Thursday. You've got mitzvot of Purim Sorry, on Thursday night, Thursday night, Friday, on Yud Daled. You've got Mitzvot of Purim on Sunday to observe, right? Suda and Mishloch Manot. What do you do on Shabbos? Okay. So the Gemara in Daf Daled has a number of important teachings from Yehoshua ben Levi with regards to Mikra Megillah and Purim. And among them is the following. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, Purim shachaliot b'Shabbat. When Purim falls out on Shabbat, as it does for us in Yerushalayim this year, sho'alim v'dorshin b'inyano shel yom. We ask questions, we darshan, we give drashos, we expound upon the matters of the day. What's that about? So the Rishonim explain that because we can't read the Megillah on Shabbos, and we can't give out Matanot Levionim on Shabbos, so we advance that to Friday. And because we paskin like the Yerushalmi, that the Suda is not on Shabbos, but instead we push it off to Sunday, and that's when we give the Mishloach Manot. But nevertheless, Tetvav is still, or Shabbat is still Tetvav. It's still Purim. So you have to do something. Maybe there's an obligation to make mention of the miracle and to publicize the miracle. Maybe there's a mitzvah still of Haskarat HaNes and Pirsume Nisa. Now, normally that would have been accomplished with Mikra Megillah, but because we can't read the Megillah on Shabbat, so we advance it to Friday, to Thursday night, Friday. But on Shabbat, there's still an obligation to make mention of the miracle and to publicize the miracle. So how do we accomplish that? Oh, according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, we accomplish that through these public lectures, these drashot, sholin v'dorshin v'inyon shel yom. And in a typical Purim Mishulosh, when it's not a pandemic, you see advertised all over Yerushalayim these big drashos, similar to, you know, the Shabbat Shuva drasha, or the Shabbat Hagadol drasha, these big drashot where the Rav will give a shir and discuss and make mention of the miracle. It's a machloket Rishonim, whether the obligation is to discuss the halachot of the day, that's what it means, sholim v'dorshim v'inyon shel yom, or if it's about the miracle, if it's about the Purim story, in any case, so most of the time you have both a little halacha and agada, like you do on Shabbos Shuva, like you do on Shabbos Agadol. And that is how you're makayim this mitzvah to publicize the miracle and make mention of the miracle. Also on Shabbat, again, if Shabbat is still Tetvav, it's still Purim, even though, you know, for technical reasons, we're not going to observe the mitzvah of Purim, but we're going to have these drashot, we're also going to make mention of Purim in our tefillot and in our Birkat HaMazon by the recitation of Al HaNisi. Okay? So on Shabbat, when Tetvav falls on Shabbat, as it does in walled cities in Yerushalayim, we're going to recite Al HaNisim in all of the tefillot of Shabbat and in Birkat HaMazon. Okay? We're also going to read Vayavo Amalek, which is the reading which we normally read on Purim morning. We take out the Torah and we read Vayavo Amalek. We're not going to do that in Yerushalayim on Friday. We'll read the Megillah on Friday. We'll advance the Megillah reading to Friday, but we're not Friday morning, but we're not going to read the Torah reading, the typical Torah reading for Purim. We're going to read that instead as the Maftir of Shabbat on Tetvav Adar, Purim Mishulash. Okay? And we'll read the Haftorah Pakadati, which is the Haftorah of Shabbat Zachor, which we're going to read this Shabbat in Shul. So here in Yerushalayim, we'll read the same Haftorah 2 weeks in a row, the Haftorah of Pakadati. We'll read it this Shabbat, Parshat Zachor, and then we'll read it next Shabbat as well. So in order to make mention of the miracle, and in order to publicize the miracle, again, we'll have these drashot, we'll recite Al HaNisim, we'll read Vayavo Amalek, and the special Haftorah for Parshat Zachor as well. Okay, now it's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch, as we'll see in a moment, does not mention this obligation of Sholin V'Dorshin B'Inyo Shel Yom. It just leaves it out. Doesn't mention it. However, the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah bring it down, and the Rambam paskins that when Purim falls out on Shabbat, Sholim V'Dorshin B'Inyo Shel Yom, the Rambam brings down this Gemara LaHalacha. So it would seem that according to the Rambam, this is a halacha. You have to have these public lectures in order to fulfill this obligation. Some say maybe you can fulfill this obligation just by learning these inyanim yourself. The Gemara actually goes on and asks why Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi had to teach this. right? Because we have an obligation to make mention and to learn and to read about a holiday, every holiday, right? The Gemara brings the famous Braita, Moshe Tikilim Yisrael Sheyu Sholim V'Dorshim V'Nino Shelyom Hilchot Pesach B'Pesach Hilchot Etzer B'Etzer Hilchot Chag B'Chag. So what's the chiddush here? So the Gemara says Purim Itzrichalei. Why? Ma'udetem and Igzor Mishum De'Rabba Kamash Malat. You know, you have to mention that that you're allowed to study Purim. You're allowed to study the Megillah, let's say, on Shabbat. Why? Lest you say, oh, just like we're not allowed to read the Megillah publicly on Shabbat, Gzeira Derabba, Nigzor Mishum Rabba, Gzeira Derabba, lest someone walk with the Megillah, Dalet Amot Bereshit HaRabim, and violate the Isur HaHotzav, carrying on Shabbat Kamash Malan. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is coming to teach that, oh, Sholim V'Darshan, we have to say Dafka, there's an obligation to, or maybe that it's permitted to learn about the Inyanim of Purim. In other words, you can read from a Megillah. You can learn. It's a whole discussion, the Prichadash discussion, Achronim, about handling a Megillah. But in any case, we assume you can handle even a Megillah scroll on Shabbat if it's to read from, to learn from. You know, before art scroll, before printed books, that's how they would read. They would have scrolls. But in any case, so the Shulchan Aruch leaves out this halacha. It could be that according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's not an obligation per se. The Gemara is just teaching this to tell you that you're allowed to learn about Purim. You're allowed to learn about the Purim miracle. You're allowed to even learn the Megillah that Shabbat. Why? We don't say that since you don't read the Megillah publicly, you're not allowed to learn about it bichla. Okay? But that could be why the Shulchan Aruch leaves out this halacha. That it's not a thing. It's not a kiyum of Haskarah Danes or Pirsum Enisa. Whereas the Rambam brings us down lahalacha that, yeah, Sholem Bidarshim Binyan Shel Yom. It's a thing. We do it in order to publicize the miracle. Okay? And so obviously this year, because of Corona, it will probably be somewhat modified, but certain places, you know, following carefully the guidelines of the Ministry of Health, of course, will have these public lectures of Torah on Shabbat, on Tetvav Adar. Okay, fine. So here's the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll conclude with the Shulchan Aruch. Yom Chamisha Asar Shechaliot B'Shabbat, Ein Korin HaMegillah B'Shabbat. As we said, when the 15th falls out on Shabbat, as it does this year, we don't read the Megillah on Shabbat for the reasons we saw. Elo makdimim likrota be'erev Shabbat. But rather, we advance the reading to Erev Shabbat, right? Friday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning. The govim ma'ot matanot anim, u'michalkim oto ba'bayom. And we collect and distribute matanot levyonim on that day. As we saw, matanot levyonim is connected to the Mikra Megillah. Uveyom Shabbat motzim shnei sfarim, u'basheni korim ve'evo amalek. And as I mentioned, we'll take out two sifrei Torah, and from the second, we'll read ve'evo amalek, the special reading of Purim morning, but we'll read it on Shabbat. Okay, we'll read it on Shabbat. After all, that's Purim, so we'll read it as the maftir. The omrim al hanisim, as I said, we'll say al hanisim. Ve'enosim sudat Purim ad yom echad b'Shabbat, and you don't make the suda until Sunday. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Yerushalmi, that we push off the Suda till Sunday. As I said, there are different shitot. Some say maybe you have the Suda on Friday, you have the Suda on Shabbat itself. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and this is what we do, we have the Suda on Sunday. The Shulchan Aruch does not mention Mishloch Manot. He leaves that out. Could be because, again, the Yerushalmi doesn't address Mishloch Manot. But Mishloch Manot is connected to the Suda, as we said, as we explained, it's there to enhance the Suda. So the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah say that you have the Mishloch Manot. Mishloch Manot is given out on Sunday as well, along with the Suda, because the purpose is to enhance the Suda, as we explained. Okay? So very complicated. I'll just mention before I take questions, it's a whole question this year with regards to someone traveling. It's a whole sugya, really, in every year, in a typical year. Ben ir shahalach lekrach, ben krach shahalach leir. The Gemara discusses someone who lives in an unwalled city but finds himself in a walled city. What does he do on Purim? Or someone who is a ben krach, he lives in a walled city, lives in Yerushalayim, but he finds himself, let's say, in Tel Aviv on the 14th. What does he do? Okay, so typically we assume that it depends on where you are. If you're in Yerushalayim, by dawn of the 15th, you observe together with the people of Yerushalayim. If you're in Tel Aviv, dawn of the 14th, so you observe together with the people of Tel Aviv. They say about Yeshayahu Leibovitz, who was not into all the celebrations of Purim and the excess, and he was a real rationalist, and did not like all the merrymaking. They say, I don't know if it's true, but they say that he would make sure to be in Yerushalayim on the 14th, and so he would exempt himself from Purim Yud Dalet, and he would be in Tel Aviv on the 15th to exempt himself from Purim Tetvah. And then it would fall out that he would not have to observe Purim at all. We don't assume that that's the right thing to do. But so it's always a shaila in terms of someone traveling when they should observe Purim. And it's a big shaila when it comes to this year. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman and many Achronim say that if a person observed Purim on the 14th, let's say they live in Beit Shemesh and they have a full Purim on the 14th, and then they come to Yerushalayim for Shabbat, so since they've already observed all the mitzvot, they're completely exempt. We don't assume that they have any chiyuv in any of the mitzvot. They don't have to say, for instance, Al Hanisim in their Birkat HaMazon. Right? There's a machloket. There's a machloket. Rav Eliyashiv, for instance, was machmir and said, no, just like in a regular Purim, it depends on where you are. So yeah, a person was already yotzei the mitzvot of Purim Yud Dalet when he was in Beit Shemesh on Yud Dalet, but now he's in Yerushalayim for Tetvav and maybe Tet Zion, so he should observe together with Yerushalayim, just like in a regular Purim. It depends on where your feet are. But that is not the mainstream approach. The mainstream approach would be if a person already observed on Yud Dalet, he's Yotzei Zion, we assume that he dispensed of all his obligations. Now, what about someone from Yerushalayim that wants to travel? So the Poskim say, in such a year, better not travel, because it becomes very confusing. In other words, if you're in Yerushalayim, let's say on the 14th, and then you're going to travel and for Shabbos and spend Shabbos in Beit Shemesh. So what do? Do you say Yalav Yavo or not? You didn't say it on Friday. Do you say it on Shabbos? But maybe not, because you're considered like a Ben Krach Shalach Leir. Now maybe you have a status like them, or no? Do we say that your Chiyuv, and what about your Chiyuv Suda? Do you have a Chiyuv Suda in Beit Shemesh on Sunday, or when you come back to Yerushalayim? So it's very confusing. So my advice is better not travel. That's what the post can say. And the truth is, with Corona this year, there is a very good reason not to travel whatsoever. Okay. Just to summarize and to make some say there, okay, the mainstream approach without the chumras, without all the other unique opinions, on Thursday night, we'll read the Megillah here in Yerushalayim. Friday morning, we'll read the Megillah in Yerushalayim. One who reads the Megillah outside of a minyan for himself, for his wife, for his family, etc., whatever, we assume, like the Chachmei Yerushalayim, that even in such a year where the Megillah is advanced from the 15th to the 14th, he makes a bracha. Matana Lev Yonim is distributed on Friday because it's connected, as we saw with Mikra Megillah. On Shabbat, we will say Ya'alev Yavo. Now I'm confusing myself. That was this past Shabbat. We said Ya'alev Yavo for Rosh Chodesh. On Shabbat, on Shabbat, the 15th of Adar, he'll say Al Hanisim in his Tfilot, in Birkat Hamazon. We read Ve'avo Amalek. In the morning, we read Pakadati, the Haftorah for Shabbat Zachor. We'll actually read it 2 weeks in a row, Shabbat Zachor, and then Shabbat Purim as well. Okay, and the Suda and Mishloch Manot will be on Sunday. Okay, as I said, there are those who want to do a little something special on Shabbat itself. You want to enhance your meal, but there's no obligation really to have a Suda. There are those who are Machmir, but we assume, like the Yerushalmi, that the Suda is on Sunday, and that's when you distribute Mishloch Manot. Okay, I hope I was clear. As I said, this year it's a little confusing, and my goal was to make some say there. Hopefully, I was clear. Any questions or comments? Here, I'll unmute all the participants. Unless you've muted yourself, you should be muted.
I have a question. Should we be doing the Shloch Manot this year with COVID?
I'm sorry. I'm not hearing you.
Should we be doing the Shloch Manot with COVID this year?
Oh, that's a great question. So. That's a great question. Look, minimally, the mitzvah is to give two portions to one person, right? That's what the Gemara says. Manot ish l're'ehu, the verse says. And the Gemara explains, the first parak there, you give two portions, two gifts to one person. So you could be, you could fulfill the mitzvah, you know, by giving the shluch manot to his or her spouse. Okay, if you're concerned about COVID, give it to a spouse, leave it for a neighbor, as you could do it in a very modest way this year. I think you're absolutely correct. I think that because of the pandemic, mishloach manot should be minimized. And anyone who feels bad, just take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam writes, and this is in a typical year without a pandemic, the Rambam writes that better to give less mishloach manot and give more matanot levyonim. Okay, you know, people go all out and they make fancy gift baskets and they invest so much money and they end up spending a lot more in mishloach manot than they do matanot levyonim. Now they'll give the rabbi, you know, 50 shekel for matanot levyonim, but they'll spend 500 shekel for mishloach manot. The Rambam sees that as inappropriate, even in a typical year without a pandemic. So I think that this year, certainly, people should just give the minimal mishloach manot, give one shaloch manos, and the rest give to matanot levyonim. Give money to the poor, anyone who doesn't have who to give to, they can speak to me outside of the shir. I'd be happy to arrange for the distribution of matanot levyonim, bo bayom. Okay, there's an organization that I work with every year, and they do a great job. And every cent or every agura is given to the poor.
Rav?
Yes.
First of all, shkoyach.
Thank you.
I heard in another shir that if you want to give matanot levyonim, give two commercially packaged items so that nobody has a kashash about corona.
Okay, the Seder, but just giving to people, if you're going around and traveling. Listen, yeah. I'll leave it up to everyone to decide what's appropriate,
and
whether you've been vaccinated or not, whether your neighbors are vaccinated. But I think we can all agree that this year it should be more modest and minimized because of the pandemic.
Absolutely. Can I ask you another question?
Please.
Do you have any mishpacha in Toronto, Canada?
Not that I know of.
Okay, because there is a mishpacha Nadel in Toronto, where I'm from originally, and a tremendous shukayach for the wonderful shir. Thank you.
I'll just say, if they're kohanim, it's possible.
If they are. Oh, yes, okay. Are.
So then it's very possible. And you can find out if they're from Galicia, if their family hails from Galicia. Ich bin a Galicianer.
Ich hoich gut. Shukayach, Rav. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Now we're entertaining personal questions, it seems. Okay. So, any questions? Okay. If not, I will wish you all a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and we'll see you all in Mirtz Hashem next Wednesday morning.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.